Welcome to the show now. Roger Blake, who's from the Pressure Group Rail Future. Hello, Roger.
Good morning.
Morning. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure.
Can we look at the overall picture? What does this tell us about how the railways are coping with demand?
Well, I think it shows that the railways, despite all the problems, still are a very attractive option for people to travel into, particularly our major urban centres. And what these figures highlight is that we do have an ongoing challenge of providing sufficient capacity to keep up with a seemingly ever-increasing demand. Now, in London, the demand seems to have tailed off a bit, but broadly speaking, the railway continues to need investment to enable it to keep on growing to meet this demand.
We're told that millions, nay, billions, is spent on new trains, on track, on stations, but still, we're here in Cambridgeshire, particularly Cambridge, is a black spot for overcrowding, for delays, and for problems. Do you agree?
Well, I think Cambridge is a good example of an incredibly successful city outside London that is growing really, really fast on a very considerable scale and particularly needs an injection of continued investment to provide the longer trains. And also, what I think Cambridge in particular shows is that we need higher capacity stations. Now, Cambridge Station itself has had a rejig recently, and I know there is some talk in some quarters about, you know what, the extra platforms are still not enough, and maybe we need to think about an additional entrance on the opposite side of the railway from the, where the existing one is, to spread the load. But Cambridge certainly is a kind of a watershed point where you've got very heavy outflows in the morning to London and other places, and because Cambridge is such a successful city, massive inflows as well.
Yeah, and also, of course, you've got the new Cambridge North station, but there's debate over how long it'll take to get a Cambridge South up. There's Peterborough and its lack of connections to a lot of other places in East Anglia. You've got the debate over whether Ely should have a new track there and a station for Soham. There's so many parts of the infrastructure of railways in East Anglia that people are debating about, but certainly, based on day-to-day complaints, folks still feel the service isn't good enough, Roger.
I agree that the service still is nowhere near, in many respects, meeting passengers' wholly legitimate expectations. And that is an ongoing challenge that the railway has to really seriously set up to. And this has got to be a combination of the train operators improving their performance, the rolling stock companies bringing in the new trains to provide the extra capacity, and the government funding Network Rail and other organisations to build new stations like Cambridge South and Soham.
Question from Renford Sargent from Premier Travel. Renford.
Roger, I suppose wherever you look these days, whether you look to roads, airports or railways, it's all about the numbers of people, isn't it? The population's growing enormously. They're all under pressure. But, I mean, should there be more track even on railways? I guess to do all this thing is going to be major upheaval. But I travel a lot throughout Europe and the US, and obviously the train services tend to be on time, and there tends to be a seat for everybody. So is it purely just the pressure of more people using the railways? I mean, it's an attractive option. Most of us would rather get in a train than get in the car these days if you're going to somewhere like London or Manchester or Cambridge. So, but is it just a problem that is insolvable at the moment?
I don't think it's insolvable, but I think it is not solvable in the sort of short-term timescales that most people would wish. This is a long, yeah, slow burn, so patience is required. And I know that the railway tests passengers' patience too often too much, but it is going to be a combination of that continued investment, whether it's in extra track, improved signalling, more trains, longer trains. It's a whole mix of things that need to be injected.
How can people have faith in the train companies when they've had the sort of cock-up as we had recently, where they redid the, as you know, redid all the schedules, and it was all wrong, and we've had weeks and weeks and weeks of misery, and still not right?
Yeah, this whole question of rebuilding trust between the users of a service and the providers of the service is one of the biggest underlying challenges. And the railway industry as a whole, I think, quite honestly, openly, has got a heck of a lot of lost ground that it now needs to make up. We have to get better at delivering these major schemes, and the May timetable has been just a massive embarrassment.
It's been a joke, hasn't it? Seriously screwed
up people's lives.
And it's led for calls again, led by actually the former Shadow Transport Minister, Daniel Zeichner, MP for Cambridge, led for renewed calls for the railways to take back into public ownership for the renationalisation of them. Would that solve the issues, Roger?
Well, I think a lot of informed observers note that the railways are probably under more central government control than they were in the days of British Rail. I think this is very much a case of be careful what you wish for. I think there is a strong body of opinion which suggests that there's a maxim about when we want to create the illusion of progress, we reorganise, quickly followed by another maxim, which is that every time we reorganise, we bleed. The aftermath of privatisation was that the railway industry as a whole was marking time for about a decade. It lost way too many seriously good people. So regardless of structure and ownership, you still need strong leaders and motivated, well-skilled people in the business, all parts of the business.
Okay, final question. Cambridge there in the survey, second worst city in Britain for overcrowding on the railways. Is that going to get better or worse in the next one, in the next year? Have you seen any signs that this is going to improve?
Yeah. Well, I think there are signs that that will improve. It's interesting that Cambridge, along with Brighton and Reading, have been added to the figures for the first time this year. So we don't have direct comparables with how things have changed last year. But for the here and now, Cambridge is undoubtedly under pressure. But with the combination of longer trains coming in, cross-country franchise being relet in the near future, longer trains coming in there, all being well. So there are always the prospects that things can get better. And Rail Future's job is to seek to influence the way things evolve.
Roger, thank you for joining us live there. Those figures just out from Rail Future. That was Roger Blake.